for you once more for those people who were over there watching David Cassidy and screaming at David Cassidy and even digging his music at White City, I believe it was. Well, for those people, now here's David to talk to you. Not to be interfered with, you'll hear every word he has to say, and he's got a lot to say.
Good evening, this is Radio Luxembourg. Listen! A crowd in a street? Yes, but not just any sort of a crowd, though. Not just any street, for that matter. It's Thursday the 23rd of May. The street is Hartford Street, London W1. And the crowd stand outside the Radio Luxembourg London headquarters. The kids are Cassidy loyalists. They've been there most of the morning, just with the promised glimpse of the guy they love. The police stand guard. The traffic's diverted. Every window in Hartford Street holds a face or two. Faces that show humor and often tinges of respect for the kids who stud the ground regardless of the rain. Chanting and chanting and chanting their chant. Inside, things were calmer. David had been sneaked into the studio round the back. The Radio Luxembourg Cassidy Interview 74 was about to take place.
This is Tony Prince.
Hi, this is Dave Christian.
It's Mark Wesley.
Now, we're sitting around a table with superstar David Cassidy. Welcome back to Great Britain and Radio Luxembourg, David.
Well, thanks.
Nice to have
y'all.
David, we'll get straight down to it. The last time I saw you was Christmas, and you were really looking forward to finishing the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Now, that's all gone.
Done. How do you feel? I feel sick. No, I feel very well. I'm glad it's all over and done with, and it's good. It was 4 years and a little too long, perhaps, but nevertheless, it was, I think, for the most part...
experience.
Yeah, it was an experience, one that I'm sure I'll never forget.
Many treasured memories amongst those periods of time?
Ones that, there are a lot of good ones amongst some of the bad ones. The thing that really disturbed me about it was that it was so time-consuming, and I was wasting my time, you know.
Yeah. Were you really wasting your time?
Well, I wasn't.
Look at the career that you've been in.
Yeah, I mean,
you've been
I think for a couple of years it was good, and it was fun, but when you start doing the same thing every day, you know, every day of the week, week after week after week, you feel like, well, you know, I should be doing something else. I should be growing. I should be...
You feel like life is a holiday now that it's all over, in comparison.
Life's a holiday. Not as long. No, I don't feel like it's a holiday yet. I think that perhaps in about 6 months from now, when I get, you know, over the shock of it all, it'll probably be a holiday. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have a lot of fun. I'm having fun now.
It's
Since the Partridge Family finished, have you had any serious offers for film parts?
Yeah, I have. Even while it was happening, there were serious offers, but they weren't seriously considered, only because they were, you know, I don't mean to put people of the film industry down, but most of them don't have a great imagination, you know.
Yeah.
And I suppose that is kind of...
Well, they were offering you parts, the sort of part that you were doing then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just see it's boy and a dog, and it's, you know, me being 18 years old. And I have to cop to the fact that I do look younger than 24, but nevertheless, I am 24, and...
That's pretty young, David. I mean, Mark West is 39. Yeah,
Tony's 24 this year.
That's a lot seriously.
And a whole lot more.
Is there any truth in the rumor that you're having an affair with David
Bridges? What? There has been a lot of talk. That's why I wore these rhinestone boots.
I just got a little message on the window there from David to give him a name check, so I give him his name check. David, let's talk about the tour.
Let's not talk about him.
Let's plug that. The tour comes to an end. At the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming out on the 208 on Sunday night. In fact, you're probably on stage at the time this is going out.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to go to Manchester, and then is that the end of the world tour?
Manchester's the last date, on Tuesday night. It is the end of the world tour. It's the end of me touring the world. It's the end of touring in general.
Are you imagining that you're going to become virtually a recluse?
No, I mean,
you're gonna
quite the opposite, you know. I mean, because of the touring and stuff, I became a recluse, you know, hotel rooms and
magazines
and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, but I mean a recluse in a traditional sense. But I mean, I hear that you have an island or planning to move to an island near Hawaii or on Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
To spend more time by yourself, maybe getting yourself together.
Those are all broad exaggerations of the facts, but nevertheless.
Okay, so what are the facts?
The facts are that I do have a considerable amount of land, and I don't have a house there, but I want to build a house there. And it is on or about or near the island of Hawaii. And, it's difficult for me to get into a lot of detail because I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know when it's going to come about, but I do know I want to build a house there, and I would like to live there at least part of the year.
Is it just that you know what you want to do, but you don't know what you don't want to do?
You want to go about doing what you want.
You know you're sick of the Frottage family, you know you're sick of touring.
It's not
you don't know what else you want to do, it's just that you're tired of it.
You've done so much of it, do you think?
No, I've done too much. I mean, I'm really tired, but it wasn't like I was sick of it, you know? I mean, it didn't make me sick, the thought of it, doing the Frottage family. It was just, there were too many other things I wanted to do. You know, I just didn't, I mean, I was going to work every morning, waking up at 6 o'clock and saying, well, now I'm blowing the whole day here inside a movie studio with makeup on, whitening up, saying these dumb things. And I don't want to do that, you know? I mean, I'd much rather be home outside, you know?
And they were long hours, weren't they? Long
12 hours a day, you know? No, God, you know, I could never do any of that. Most American actors...
How do you know you never...
Cannot, well, because I sat in the bathroom the other night and said... I could never do that. It's, I think to do Shakespeare, at least, I mean, it requires a lot of training, I think, you know, and, I don't have that kind of training.
Gotta give your life up to it, really.
You essentially do, you know,
yeah.
And I think most American actors, because just in the way that we talk,
yeah.
It never sounds
it doesn't come across
honest
the same.
At all.
Yeah.
It sounds so dishonest
yeah.
to hear someone say, on the fortnight of, you know, it just
yeah.
doesn't work, you
yeah.
know.
At the same pace, you know, a Shakespearean actor probably couldn't do a natural part like you've been doing in the Partridge.
Well, I mean, at least not the typical Springfield, Massachusetts American family, no.
You do want to play any straight parts?
Yeah, I would like to do some.
See, stretch yourself, see how far you can go.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'd like to do. You know, I haven't really had that much opportunity in the last 4 years to do that, and before I started doing the Partridge Family, I was working in dramatic shows, and I did a Broadway show and stuff, and I was seriously thinking about becoming an actor forever.
I'm just wondering what you'd look like with a Gatsby-type look, if you were acting that way.
You know, quite honestly, I was thinking about not just not getting a Gatsby kind of haircut, but cutting my hair off and stuff, because I...
Well, that's many a part would entail you having to do that in point of time.
And in fact, your new record is very Gatsby, isn't it?
A lot of people, I mean, when I got here, they said that. I mean, it's not really happening all over the world or in the United States, the Gatsby thing. I mean,
number three on 2 are you? Oh, you're talking about the Gatsby?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really taken off here, you know?
Really? It really isn't happening anywhere else. I've been all over the world, and I've even heard of people that heard the song, like I recorded it about before the Gatsby thing
With all due respect to Gatsby being an American movie, as far as fashion is concerned, they always follow Britain, you see, David. That's where that's at.
Wake him up quickly.
If I didn't care more than words can say, this way, if this is enough, then right through I feel, then what makes my head go round and round, round my heart, if I didn't I'm
The tour day. We'll go back to the tour. Mm-hmm. You've had a great
I'll time. Do on the hits, please, please. You know, I'll hold you.
Anything else that happened on the tour that you'd like to say? Anything exciting happened on this tour that hasn't happened before?
Well,
I don't need to mention a name, like.
I've been touring a long time, you know. I mean, like 3.5 years, and I can't imagine really anything that has happened that's never happened before. I mean, I just think that. The fact that this has been like my last one, I've sort of enjoyed it. I've sort of wallowed in it a little more, you know. And
yeah.
On stage, I've had a lot more fun because I'm doing now what I want to do, you know.
Do you feel the same feelings now that you felt when you first went on stage? You must have a certain amount of uncertainty makes you anxious and perhaps excited, not necessarily nervous. How do you feel now?
Well, I just feel like when I walk out on stage, if it's going to be, I mean, like, I'm thinking about these next 3 days. It's just going to be like bliss for me, you know. I mean, the amount of energy that is going to be happening in that, wherever it is, venue, stadium.
Yeah.
What about your body?
We're going to have a show.
Do you have any tensions in your body before you go out on stage? Is
that a thing that happens? It depends on where it is and when it is. There are times when I don't even think about it. I just walk right out, and it's usually the times when the energy is the lowest.
Yeah.
But I really feel good, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. I do get nervous. I do get excited, and I have to pace a little bit because I can't wait to get out of there. You know, it's like revving yourself up. You know, you want to just get right out. Let's go on. Come on, yeah.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time in your career, David, where you reached the stage where you said, I can't go out there? Or was that maybe in the early days?
3 days ago.
Yeah?
No.
No, I mean.
No, I never said I can't go out there, you know. There are times when I didn't want to, perhaps.
Mm.
But almost every time I've performed, it's been a high, at least to some degree. I mean, it's different every time. It's got to be different every time, you know, otherwise I'd get so bored.
Yeah. I realize that you've, you've been doing this quite some time now.
Mm.
But was there any particular point where the turn, you arrived at a corner which said, this is the sign which just made me move it alone, I've got to do something else? Or did you realize that was going to come?
You started talking with people about it and saying, well, I don't know, someone said, well, are you going to come back next year? And I thought, well, God, no, I'm not going to come back next year. I'm not going to keep
having
a habit of this. I mean, this is something, I mean, it's a special thing to me. It's, you know, it's something that, it's the second time I've been here. I mean, I've played all of the states before I ever played anywhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I played some places 3 and 4 times. And I found after, like, playing it twice, it became a little anticlimactic, you know. I mean, it wasn't ever as great as it was the first time or the second time.
Yeah.
Well, the third and fourth time people expect it. It's not that much of an event, you know.
How do you answer the fan, David, who turned around naturally, who was in love with the world? Charles Lewis says, well, you're not coming back anymore. You're giving up to reading with the Partridge family. You know, when am I going to see you again, you know, apart from my dream?
See,
how do you answer? How do you answer?
King's Cross, I guess.
Well, I mean, you must have thought it over. I mean, the fire is really, you know, they're not like gnats who you brush away when they bite you.
Not at all.
They're all human beings, and they're growing up.
Well, you're giving well a lot of there.
As am I.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it, you know. I mean, it's a matter of me growing and them growing with me, and perhaps me outgrowing them and them growing into me, or them outgrowing me. And it's, that's really the whole point of it is that I have to grow as an individual and as a human being, too. And I think people that are really sincere about being my fans and that are really concerned about me understand that that's what I have to do and, care about.
Yeah.
You know, not exactly outgrow, leaving them behind, though.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's not
going to be making
records. I'm still going to be making records. I think the records I'm going to be making are going to be far better than any records I've ever made. You know?
Are they going to be perhaps more songs that you've written yourself? Is that what you'd like to be able to do?
You're not
doing it anyway, no.
I'm writing, and I'm singing songs that I composed. But I think that more than concentrating on singing, I'm never going to record anything else. The songs are going to be all mine. I mean, I hear a lot of songs that just knock me out. You know, and I'm not songs that I write, but perhaps songs that I couldn't write. You know,
otherwise, what would you be influenced by anybody?
Oh, lots of people. I mean, I think everybody influences everybody else. You know, I mean, a lot of people ask me, you know, who's been your greatest influence? And I mean, I've always said, and I don't like anti YouTube. And I don't like to be redundant. But
I think that
all of us, at least me, I was most impressionable in like 63, 64, 65.
Yeah.
Like I was 13, 14, 15. I was growing up in the music that was moving me then.
The Beatles,
yeah, you know? Right, yeah. So, I mean, to me, I never made a record that ever came close to me sounding like them or trying to sound like them or that had the intensity that their records had. I don't know if anybody has. In my head, I mean, when I listen to a record, there are very few records I can put on now that would electrify me the way those records electrify me then or now, you know?
It's become very, very complicated these days, isn't it?
It's really, I think everybody's just so derivative of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, there are very few people that are innovative.
Because the Beatles were derivative of all the old rock and roll style.
Yeah, but they had their own style, and then they derived everything from, like, they were a combination of things, you know.
Yeah.
Blues and like 50s rock, and I don't know, it just
there's a white way of putting it over black music.
Exactly. Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Chuck Berry and all those guys, you know, and Fats Domino and Buddy Holly, and I don't know, I just it just changed my head right around. I mean, I was listening to music like the Shirelles and stuff. And they did a couple of those songs, you know, the Shirelles songs. But somehow or another, when they did them, I just was never like listening to a Shirelles record or listening to. And they were good records, too, but I
really got a hold of them.
Yeah. Those songs I listen to them. Those are the tunes I listen to and I play with, you know, and then I sit around my house and I sit around and play those songs, you know.
I come looking for a little satisfaction. I don't drive no Cadillac. All I've got's hanging on to that. But I keep believing a physical attraction. Rock me, baby, rock me through the night.
there. Now come on and rock me. Rock me. Come on and rock me. Come on and shock me.
Artists who you really rate and admire and can listen to all night?
Mm.
I think the Beatles were the last group I could listen to all night.
Yeah.
And forever, you know.
Never stop.
I think McCartney's made a couple of more good albums.
Yeah. Especially his last one.
Well, I'm not going to say his last one. Yeah. Well, I think his last one was better. I mean, his final was better than his others, but the one before I really liked more after that album, it just killed me, you know, when I the songs on that album, to me, were the best. The best tunes that he's written, you know, and I think he's written some real good ones since he's left. I mean, they all have. They all have in their own way, you know, and I think it's good that they're all doing their own trips now, and,
The Beatles have gone through what you're going through with the fans, mm-hmm. the fan mania,
mm-hmm.
and George Harrison was recently quoted as saying to someone, I think it was a guy who drove him down to his house, a chauffeur or something. The chauffeur turned around and said, could I have an autograph for my niece? And George said, look, man, that's all over. That's finished. That's a thing of the past. Come in and have a drink. Join us. But that's finished.
Mm.
You know, and I think the punter, even myself, who hasn't experienced what you and a few other very selective people in the world have experienced, we don't fully appreciate what the pressures are.
Mm.
For example, I can say to the listener that this week alone on Radio Luxembourg, I've had 3 calls from fans of yours who have threatened to me if I don't get them to you, they will commit suicide.
Mm.
The switchboard at Radio Luxembourg today have had 2 similar calls.
Mm.
You must have these pressures on you as well. How do you handle that within yourself when you think of the human
aspect?
You find that you do. I mean, you find that when someone says they're going to kill themselves because of you, obviously, I mean, unless you gotta have some emotion. I mean, but the thing is that you have to know that you are not in control of their lives,
mm.
and that is not what I'm out to do. I'm not out to get them to that point to where I want to see them commit suicide because of me.
Right.
I mean, I would like them. I mean, I'm a performer, you know.
It's so fun to have any conscience.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really lay it that heavily on my conscience because, I mean, I'm a performer and I'm a singer.
Sure.
And if I went through every phone call like that every day, I'd be, you know, I mean, I'd be out of Bellevue, you know, in New York, you know, in a straitjacket. Yeah, right. And I mean, there have been times when I thought about being in Bellevue anyway, but I've been in Bellevue. I just find that, you know, I mean, I have to take what I'm doing not so seriously, you know.
Mm.
And I have to look at it as just something like, okay, it's a job and something that I like doing. And I'm a singer, and I have to, I'm doing concerts, and, like, people want to come and see me and they want to dig it. They can dig it whatever they way they want to dig it, you know? And
here's a question.
Okay.
Of all the, I mean, you are David Cassidy, which is, like, really something special. Now, here's a question which...
It's
pretty special to many millions of people. And something which you may interest people by answering is that is there anything you'd rather be? Can I imagine anything that you'd rather be than David Cassidy?
I never think about things like that, like what I'd rather be. I just would rather be like 2 years from now, maybe, you know, sometimes I think. But I mean, I'm digging what I'm doing now. It's just, I think like there's going to be a period for these next couple of years that, I mean, time will tell what's going to happen. And it's just, I think, a period that I'm going to be going through that's going to be kind of difficult for me, you know. I mean, I think I'm gonna be abused a bit. I mean, we are in our own way. I mean, whatever trip that we're going through. I mean,
gone through a lot of changes, which I think I'm going to go through. Because I'm going to be rejected a lot, you know?
Maybe unused to certain responses.
Yeah, a lot more time to sit back and analyze what you're doing yourself.
Yeah, that kind of scares me, too. I mean, I'm a little impulsive. I like to go out and just...
You don't have to think about it.
I think without doubt, in the future, when all this is over, you're going to sit back and you'll have regrets and you'll have, you know, things which you'll say, well, I did that right, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think everybody does that. Yeah, that's life. I mean, that's living, you know? I think now, leaving the touring thing here and ending it here...
You're leaving on a high.
That's exactly it. That's why I want to leave it there, you know. I would like to go out with a little style and...
Nice one.
You know, yeah.
In fact, Sinatra did the same, though,
I'm doing a television special. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. What did you say? You're getting your head together. I just say I'm going to start living, you know, and start living as a human being. As possible as you can.
Like, you haven't been to the past. You know, you haven't been on a golf course or anything like that.
Back against the pressures, David, which...
This is exactly what I'm going to say.
I mean, people listening to this show tonight on radio looks at me, oh, that's David Cassidy, and he's talking about himself. They don't realize that you've talked about yourself around the world now for 3 months. And 4 years, you've talked all over the world about yourself continuously. And Andy Williams was over here a week ago, and I heard from a recording company source that during the course of a lot of interviews, he suddenly put his hand up and said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing any more interviews. And he gave the reason, he said, listen, talking about oneself as much as I've been doing, you begin to hate oneself. And I got to that stage where I'm hating myself, now leave me alone, because I don't like to hate myself.
Yeah, I don't feel like talking about myself when you're asking me questions and I'm going to start hating myself. I do think you tend to analyze what you're doing a little too much. People ask me all the time, what about this, what about that, what about this? Yeah. Well, I never really thought about it before, so I don't know.
Yeah. You're not worrying about it.
Yeah, maybe I should start worrying about it, you know. I'm not worried about it. I mean, I feel very good about me and what I'm doing.
Maybe you can't cruise alone and just go with the flow.
You know? Sure.
Are you influenced by anyone?
Give me a guitar and all.
Give me a guitar.
I can give you a guitar.
I'm influenced by everybody, you know. I mean, everything.
Is there anybody in particular who influences you? A friend like Kim and Dave, your friends? Do they influence you?
Yes, really, but not, I don't think, I mean, any more degree, to a greater degree than anybody else. I think perhaps just, I mean, obviously we all have people that are closer to us than others, and I have a couple of close friends that know me better than obviously anybody else in the world, and I care about their friendship more than I care about
the value of that.
Yeah, and I think that they have a much more objective viewpoint of what I'm doing and who I am than I do at times.
Yeah.
The main thing is that I follow my heart, you know. I mean, I do what I want to do and what I think is right, and I mean, I listen to people who I trust and who I love. I listen to their advice, but most of the time I just got to do what I got to do.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming, Lord. And I'm lost in a daydream. I'm dreaming about my family of joy. But even if time is too late for my side, it's one of the things for taking a walk outside. I'm lonely just for taking a walk in the sun. For my faith is coming to me no longer. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. You
Love you.